Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unity by Dan Sugralinov. Translated by Jennifer E. Sunseri. Narrated by Daniel Thomas May. Prologue. Alex. The intragel in the capsule subsided, and I grabbed the railing. Just 15 minutes ago, Big Poe and I had killed off the offspring of Nether, launching the regeneration timer for Icy Gorge. And Pollux, the new nucleus of the destroying plague, had made Laniron the High Legate. My last sight before I was thrown into the real world was Mogwai's sour face and Big Poe's smug, self-satisfied visage. It would be 6 hours until Icy Gorge reactivated. After everything I'd just been through, you'd think I'd use those 6 hours to get some sleep, which would happen in another life, or a better future. But it would seem that, by making me the initial of the sleepers, the universe had played a cruel joke on me. What was allowed to the sleepers wasn't allowed for their initial. Should he fall asleep, they'd have to wake him up. And after that, who knows what would happen. The late Kieran Jackson, formerly Snowstorm's managing director, said that once the sleepers were awakened, Discardium as we know it would be erased, wiped out, and the world would then restart. Pristine. Devoid of life, and then, perhaps, it would develop and evolve into something very different. There wouldn't be any departed, nor a demonic pact, and no war between the old and new gods, either. All would be meaningless, because everything for which I'd given up a quiet life and happy future wouldn't exist. No. Better to let the sleeper's slumber continue on forever. And so whilst the gods slept, and the timer counted down the seconds, I leaped out of the capsule and quickly started dressing as I thought about who I could count on besides Wesley, who'd exited into real life with me and was now on his way here. Tissa was en route to see Liam's Aunt Elizabeth of the White Amazons. She was supposed to help Tissa meet up with Hinterleaf, who would send her our way. This would be no easy feat because the skies above Cali Bottom were under the control of the mercenaries. Meanwhile, Edward and Rita were still in the hospital. Hyro was supposed to pick them up and bring them to the base yesterday so that they could take off into space with us, but the flyer that he and Willie were using was shot down as soon as it took off, and our yacht exploded at the spaceport. Tobias's character was stuck in the Nether. Might as well leave him there because, anyway, he wasn't much of a help in Dis, and the intelligence we got from him in the Nether about Nergal and Nine's plans was useful. I'd heard the First Inquisitor Larion say that all of the priests of the Radiant One were gathering in Darrant to perform the rite to summon Nine, and we had to stop them before it was too late. If Nine were to swoop in to help the children of Kratos, nothing else would matter anymore. Malik? Malik was dead. The only ones left were Hung and Tomoshi, although we still needed to call in Gula and Manny. We had work for them. And Big Poe. There was so much to get done, plans to make, that every minute counted. I had no doubt that the children of Kratos, realizing that the isolation zone was about to cease functioning as such, were already creating a warm welcome for the top threat and the legates of the destroying plague. I opened my bedroom door and paused in the doorway. The only light in the room came from the flickering holographic screen displaying the footage from the security cameras. Dozing in his wheelchair in the murky darkness was Leonid Feshelevich, the legless veteran peacemaker that Hyro had recruited to pilot our yacht, or rather, what had been our yacht. And yeah, look at this guy. The way he clutched the flask with both hands, and didn't even wake up until I opened the exit door. What good was he?
Hey, kid,
he croaked hoarsely as I was leaving.
Stop right there. Where are you off to?
Hey there, Mr. Feshelevich, I said, turning to face him. I need all of the clan's officers here, ASAP. It's urgent. Can you get them here?
Just a second.
He mumbled, rubbing his eyes and yawning. And he unscrewed the cap from his flask and took a swig, and, swallowing audibly, his eyes closed. He shook his head. I was so impatient that I could hardly hold myself back from snapping at him. Okay, I'll get them here. Then, yawning, he tried to reach Hiro and Willy, but without luck. Next, he reached out to Ivan.
Van, get your wild ones together and have them hustle on over to Alex. Yeah, all of them. Say what? No, not your officers, the clans. Specifically, contact.
Leonid paused to think about it, and I came to the rescue. Have him get hung, Tamoshi, Tobias, Manuel, and Gula. If they're in their pods, activate the emergency releases. Whatever they're up to, we've got more urgent matters to attend to. Oh, and also Wesley. He's probably wandering around the corridors now looking for my room.
Wesley?
Fischelovich lifted a shaggy gray eyebrow.
Ah, got it. The fat lad who showed up yesterday. Who else do you need?
Hiro, Willy, Sergei, Yoshi. I listed all of the security guards. Also Ivan. Have him come too. This concerns him as well.
Did you hear that, Van? In short, all of the kiddos from this, and Hiro with his guys, and you too. Get over here, okay? The kid says it's urgent, so chop chop!
Then he shook his head, looking at me, and indicated the sofa.
They're on their way. Take a seat, rest your feet, and I'll put on some coffee.
I'll make the coffee, no worries, I said. You'd better make sure you keep in touch with Ivan. Do you like it strong?
You bet I do, kiddo. Make it black like dirty motor oil.
And that's just what I did. It was hot and acrid, and I sipped it, not even tasting it, while the wild ones herded my friends and comrades into the place. We were all somber as we exchanged greetings, but I waited for everyone to show up before speaking. All of them showed up, and then some, because Tamoshi brought along Eniko, the daughter of our chief builder. The last to arrive, thanks to Ivan's rounding him up, was Tobias. This was my first opportunity to speak with the leader of the Wild Ones, a big hulk of a guy with weapons hanging off him and a strangely crooked jaw and bad teeth. He stood by Hiro and whispered,
"What the hell am I doing here?"
Morales nodded toward me and responded somehow. I scanned the haggard, sleep-deprived faces and wondered how much longer we could keep up at this pace. Just yesterday, Hiro and Willy had barely escaped death when their shark was shot down, and Yoshi had almost been killed by the Tissa clone, while Sergei had barely had time to take a breath after patching up the base's defenses, and was already racking his brains thinking about how to improve the fortifications in light of the latest threats. Some had to be yanked out of their capsules, others out of bed, some were pulled away from other tasks, and yet only Tobias was outraged. What we'd taken him from in the nether, well, he didn't say, but he was fuming so audibly that Tamoshi guessed. Wesley listened to Toby and thoughtfully scratched all five of his chins. By now the living room was packed with people milling about, and then Fischelovich started shouting at them all to quiet down so that the meeting could start. The security contingent settled themselves on the sofa and chairs, which were arranged in a semicircle, while Ivan stood behind Hiro and Manny and Gula plopped on the floor, their backs against the wall. Eniko, meanwhile, set about brewing massive amounts of coffee. Hung and Toby pulled a couple of chairs out from the table and straddled them, while Tommy, yawning copiously, stood next to them. Big Poe stood a little apart on the sidelines, and I called him over. I wanted him to join us. I stayed on my feet as I wanted a clear view of everybody. Hiro looked right at me and nodded. He looked like he'd just tumbled out of bed and was smoking a cigar as he drank a canned energy drink. I saw he had two more cans of the same beverage poking out of his jacket pockets. As Eniko started passing coffee around, I forced words out of my parched throat. "Time is short. We have around 5 hours. So first things first." And I started out by telling them how Tissa had shown up at my door in the tavern back in Icy Gorge. To give everybody credit, they held back their astonishment and disbelief, and listening, they accepted that now the clone was, essentially, Melissa Schaefer, because of what the sleepers had done. May their dreams last forever. Next, I related how Tissa had brought us the nucleus of the destroying plague from Behemoth and had helped Big Poe and me to level up, and how the priests of Nergal had then captured me and Big Poe had become the new nucleus, and then how he and his legates had saved me. I paused to take a sip of coffee and then told them how Tissa then had to flee from the base of the Children of Kratos. I went on to tell them about Nine, who was supposed to manifest in Dis at dawn, and Tobias confirmed my words, but clarified that our at dawn would, in the Nether, transpire only 6 months from now. Finally, I said, Wesley and I managed to shut down the isolation zone, meaning that Icy Gorge is now undergoing regeneration, and in 5.5 hours, it will attach to Greater Discardium.
In the center of the domain of the Children of Kratos,
added Big Poe.
So once Scythe is back in Dis, they'll attack him, and you know the viciousness of the Gallaghers. With Nergal's help, they'll probably take him out.
So that's the situation, I said. I see two main courses of action. First, we have to contact our allies to help get me and Wesley out of there.
The allies are a problem, interrupted Hung. I've been in touch with Yar. He said that Hinter, Horvath, and the Colonel, too, of course, are less than thrilled that, without you, this business with the Sleepers will fall apart and they'll lose their unity bonuses. But they can't help you because they can't access the isolation zone of the Children of Kratos.
Not yet they can't, I said with a short laugh. What about the Goblin League? Oyama? Despot? Can they help?
I just talked to them yesterday when I was hightailing it to Carenza to get heroes. I mentioned that you needed his help, and I was floored by his response.
What did he say?
It's not an option,
Hung said, and barely stopped himself from spitting in disgust.
To them, even if you've got some issues, there you are totally alive and quite obviously hanging around the cemetery in Carenza. What for would they want to tangle with the friggin' Children of Kratos? All of Dis is daunted by guys like that.
Tamoshi felt like it was time then to say,
I have been mentoring the kobolds and trogs, Alex-kun, and now they bow low when passing by your character.
And they salute you. You're like a monument or some kind of shrine, said Hung ruefully. In short, they're not going to help.
So have Behemoth tell them, I said, starting to seethe. The clock was ticking and we didn't have much time. Don't they realize that the initial soul is stuck in Icy Gorge, and so that's why his body is motionless and not reacting to anything?
Yeah, well, they think that we'll manage somehow,
Hung said, waving dismissively.
Just wait. Behemoth will rally and send NPCs to your aid once he realizes that you're back in Greater Dis. And if no one helps, well, too bad. Icy Gorge and the Children's Castle are right by the sea, so you can definitely count on Orthogon and me.
And heroes,
Tamoshi added.
Your legates are good for something too, aren't they, Poe?
Hung asked.
And you are too, right?
Sure, what else do I have to do?
Poe said, shrugging.
Shepard is now my brother in Winova, and we in Winovas always have each other's backs. But I'm running out of time. I need to settle somewhere. I'm the Nucleus, and I can't be running all over the world willy-nilly.
The Nucleus? Holy shit!
Crag smacked his palm against his forehead.
I'm in the Nether. Heroes is running all over Astral. Bomber is wandering around the sea on his own beast god while friggin' Poe is the Nucleus. I won't say anything about Scythe. Damn it, though. Look at us now.
Yeah, well, I hear you,
said Wesley, shaking his head.
Just last year, we were kicking around Tristat. And now, well,
you are a big man, Wesley-san,
said Tamoshi, bowing.
Alex-kun has talked a lot about you.
Very big, Hung chuckled. He won't fit into a capsule.
You didn't meet each other yesterday, or what? I asked Big Poe.
Nope,
he replied.
I arrived yesterday, and as soon as they adjusted a capsule for me, I dived on into the game. You needed me there, and so I flew in on the wings of friendship.
You are a real friend to Alex-kun, Wesley-san.
Tamoshi bowed again. Ivan probably thought he'd somehow walked in on a circus show. He and the other security guards were observing all this in quiet amazement. Hiro and Willy could barely contain themselves. I saw Fishelevich, looking at me, tap his wrist with his finger. I nodded, acknowledging his gesture, but thought that Wesley needed the time to feel like part of the clan. I didn't want him to feel like an outsider. What we needed was a nucleus that would be our ally rather than a hostile adversary.
Thank you for such a flattering assessment of my human qualities,
Wesley replied, bowing in response.
But please, Tamoshi, call me Big Po. Believe it or not, it wasn't long ago that I pushed Scythe, Bomber, Crawler, Tissa, Infect, and Cray all over the sandbox.
Were you already powerful back then, Big Po-san?
Tamoshi was surprised.
Yes,
Wesley replied modestly, looking down. Hung couldn't take it anymore, and standing gave Po a slap on the back of the head.
You yourself know why, Big Po-san. Good job. Po, what's up with your legates? It's amazing they didn't stab us in the back. When it comes to Mogwai and his elites, anything is possible.
They're currently zeroed out,
he replied.
I've promised them that I'll return their levels, but they're unreliable ghouls and will turn on you simply out of spite. I get it. I wasn't exactly benevolent when we met, but in any case, it'll be a while before I can give them back their levels.
Damn, it's a problem,
Tobias sighed.
Maybe I should talk to Nine. Maybe she'll help, and then we wouldn't need the allies.
Yeah, right. She's dying to help, I said sarcastically. But even if she wanted to, Nergal wouldn't allow it. Don't forget, dude, we're the vile followers of the Sleepers. I paused as I thought about who else could help us, and forgot about the security guards until Hyro asked,
You said that the first order of business was helping you in this. What's the second item on the agenda?
The second is maintaining our safety here in Cali Bottom. Our sky is closed to us now, and they could probably storm our building and take over. And if my scythe escapes from the children, this might piss them off so much that they might take us out in real life, I said, looking at the security guards. So yeah, can your bear help us? Morales exchanged a look with Willie, then with Yoshihira, and then trained his gaze on me again and sighed.
I forgot that we erased our conversation from your memory. He can help, but only once, and his help doesn't extend to your problem with the children of Kratos.
So, why only one time? And who is this bear?
Dude,
said Willie.
You do not need to know more. Understand that any intervention by the bear will greatly reduce our overall chances of success. I don't want to say any more here in front of everyone, but trust me when I say that you're better off sullying yourself by getting help from the cartel than you are by using your last trump card.
I didn't expect to hear that. Thinking I'd heard him wrong, I asked, The cartel? Seriously?
As serious as a heart attack,
barked Willie, for the first time raising his voice, and he pointed upward toward the ceiling.
Alex, there are a dozen or two combat flyers above us, stuffed with weapons. I'm talking about three or four platoons of mercenaries, and we cannot deal with them on our own. While you were in this, we modeled possible scenarios, and went so far as to arm all of Cali Bottom and the Guyan Basin so that, in short, we came up with nada. Our only hope is if we can get help from the cartel, and the bear will assist with the other matter.
He glanced at the guys.
If we make it to that stage.
Listen to the grown-ups, boy,
croaked Fischelovich.
None of us like the idea of being indebted to the Calderones, but it's better paying them off with virtual moolah than dying with our heads held high.
So we can't just leave, then?
Big Po asked in a tense voice, only now realizing what he had gotten himself into.
Maybe get out the same way I got in? Quietly, imperceptibly, via ground travel?
Maybe you can get out that way,
shrugged Leonid.
But Alex, that's another story. Up there, above us, in that sky, well, those guys are nobody's fools. Most likely all of the exit points are under the control of drones.
What ensued was a hail of suggestions on how we could escape, but Willie just shook his head at each one, and I had to raise my voice.
Hey, quiet down!
The hubbub subsided, and everyone turned to look at me.
Who wants to leave while they can? Wesley, Tobias, Tamoshi, Eniko?
I called out their names, looking from face to face, but they all just shook their heads.
So then nobody. So why waste time talking about how to get out of here? We're not leaving. You don't seem to get it. We're running out of time. It's not about me, it's about Nergal's new priestess. If we don't stop her from coming to Dis, everything we fought for will be lost. Eniko served another round of coffee as everybody fell silent. Wesley took a mug off the tray and said quietly to me,
"It's brutal, bro. I didn't think it was all fun and games when you told me all about it in Icy Gorge, but listen, is Malik also?"
"Yes, Malik and Tissa and a lot of other good people."
"Well then, brother, we don't have two tasks before us, but three,"
said Wesley in a trembling voice.
"When we run into the children, we have to finish the job and raise their castle to the ground. When I think about how that bitch Ruth tortured me, well, now I'm the nucleus, and so bring it on."
I looked at him, frowning in thought. He'd given me an idea, and I put my hands on his shoulders and said, "You're downright evil, Wesley Cho. You're a bad, bad man." Everyone watched us with wide eyes. Wesley pulled away and turned to Hung.
"Is this some kind of hazing thing you guys have? Shepard is acting kind of girly, isn't he? I've, like, been in Cali Bottom for less than a day, so excuse me if I don't know the local customs."
"It's all right, Big Po. It's all right." And I thumped him on the shoulder and turned to the others. "Do you remember how many people we got together to defeat the evil dead on Holdest? They all came, from dryads and kobolds to Emperor Kragosh himself."
"And so?"
Wesley didn't understand what I was getting at. Hung and Tobias, accustomed to my ways, said nothing. Tamoshi was about to bow, but checked himself. "Can you imagine how riled up everyone will be when they find out that a super badass nucleus of the destroying plague has appeared in Dis? And he's hiding out in the heart of the domain of the children of Kratos?" Finally, they got it.
"Awesome,"
roared Hung.
"You and Poe ending up in Greater Dis, that changes everything. The allied clans will have to intervene and help, otherwise they'll violate the treaty.
And they'll bring in not only their own allied clans, but also mercenaries,"
Wesley added.
"They'll pony up."
And a din broke out as everybody started developing the idea. The security guards knew about the political alignment in Dis and joined in, and then Manny and Gula went on talking about the kobolds and trogs, while Tobias and Tamoshi and even Eniko chimed in. She worked part-time in Aunt Stephanie's tavern and knew what rumors were circulating in Carinza among the NPCs. Ivan alone had nothing to say, but he nodded and grimaced from time to time. That seemed to be his way of grinning. In the space of half an hour, the plan I'd sketched out was fleshed in, reinforced by the new threat looming on the horizon. That was the imminent arrival of the High Priestess of Nergal straight from the Nether, a lunatic who was probably still riled up over my escape. It was more important that we stop her from entering Greater Dis than it was for me and Big Poe to escape from Icy Gorge. Actually, we decided to start with the gathering of all the priests of Nergal in Darrant. Bomber and Heroes would go with Despot and Oyama, assuming they agreed to help, and enlist the support of Bastion I to disperse the priests. A motley group like that in the Commonwealth would probably cause a stir in the Commonwealth, and so Hinterleaf needed to set up a meeting. Furthermore, after me, Crawler, and Irita, Bomber was the most authoritative of the Awoken with the NPCs, so he could convene a meeting of the Supreme Council of the Goblin League, which had found shelter on Carinza, where he would provide them with rock-solid intelligence about how the new nucleus of the destroying plague was on the territory of the Children of Kratos. The Supreme Council of the League would no doubt convulse in panic attacks due to dark, vivid memories of the last time the destroying plague appeared in Kanema, incurring in them a deep antipathy for the undead, and so they'd rush to notify the leaders of the Empire, the Commonwealth, and the Neutrals about the new danger, and then the news would spread through every channel that the Children of Kratos were harboring the new nucleus. Right now in Dis, that was the equivalent of stationing nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons combined all in one place. If you factored in the rumors that the Children also had hundreds of billions of valuables in their vaults, then all of the factions invited to march on the place would be happy to join the quest to restore order. Of course, the inhabitants of Carinza would not remain indifferent, and Bomber would be on hand to open the portal right under the walls of Paramount, that being the flagship castle of the Children of Kratos. Heroes would cover him from his hangout in the Astral. Up against such an alignment, including Orthicon, Despot, and Oyama, the Gallaghers didn't stand a chance. And the biggest challenge wasn't even the Gallagher's defenders, but the divine heavenly umbrella power dome, which covered not only the castle itself, but also the surrounding territories. Unless you hit it with billions of units of damage per second to pierce the dome, it regenerated as soon as it was hit. That's why we needed all our allies on board. Hung volunteered to talk to Hinterleaf and Horvath, with whom he'd established relations when I was in a coma, and I opted to contact the colonel because I was going to ask him for far more than the help of his excommunicado in Dis. Once we neutralized the castle's defenses, Gula and Manny would lead a landing force of builders and miners into Icy Gorge to seize control of the rich mines and erect a fort for the Awoken there. Although not the most important element in my plan, it had to do with my promise to Maya, Vincent, Easy, and Hare. We would accept them into our clan as we accept all who wanted to work under our wing, but we wouldn't drag them all to Carinza. Let them stay and work in familiar surroundings. Everyone who had tasks in Dis left to carry out their respective roles. The most depended on Hung, including his conversation with Hinterleaf and Horvath. The plan we made was that if they didn't believe him, or simply didn't want to listen to what he had to say, I'd come to the rescue. Tobias went back to the Nether to keep tabs on Nine and signal us when they both manifested in Dis. Wesley left to take a nap. Since the citizenship exams, he'd hardly slept. That left me and the security guards. We still had to talk about the second item on the agenda, namely how to defend ourselves against the mercenaries of the Children of Kratos. "So maybe now you can tell me what Yoshi erased from my memory?" I suggested.
"We'll do that," nodded Hyro. "But not now. You didn't want to believe us last time, and now, when you've got so much to contend with, you'll flip out. Better still would be if I were to arrange the Colonel's people to have you two meet up privately. He won't talk to me, but he'd listen to you."
"Is the cartel really able to help?" The security team looked at me with sympathy and surprise. In short, as if I was an idiot. Finally, Willie said,
"Yes, they're strong enough."
"Then when you ask Cesar for a meeting, tell him to get hold of his brother Ishmael." Even though it was late at night, the excommunicado people understood the importance of the conversation and arranged a meeting. Private, a miniature crypto world for encrypted meetings and conversations, was created by Yoshihira Uematsu, and he was the one to send a crypto key invitation to the Calderones. The spacious, bright, Japanese-style room was much more comfortable than the one in which I had first met Cesar. Then we were with Quetzal, my ally in the demonic games. Today he was with Ishmael, his older brother, and the leader of the United Cartel. Neither one was using their avatars, at least that was my understanding. So I was seeing their true forms at this meeting. I remembered what I'd learned from Quetzal and showed up first, and when I saw the brothers appear, I greeted them. "Greetings, Don Cesar Calderon. Thank you for your time, Don Ishmael Calderon." The colonel nodded by way of a response, and his brother didn't respond at all, and simply pointed to the only table in the room, which was so low that we had to sit on mats on the floor. For a couple of minutes, Ishmael stared at me in silence, then looked at Cesar and muttered,
"Brave adventurer, you said. Humph, snot-nosed kid. I see that he has yet to learn how to show respect to his elders. What made him think that he could ask me for anything at all? Have you misled him, Cesar?"
It hurt to look at the colonel. He seemed to have shrunk, as if he wanted to sink through the floor, and he didn't utter a word. He even seemed to be holding his breath out of fear.
"Get out of here, hermanito,"
Ishmael went on without malice.
"I'll deal with the insolent one on my own."
"Alejandro?"
The colonel nodded to me and disappeared. The elder Calderon and I were left alone. Smiling, he asked,
"Have you come to ask old Ishmael for something? Well then, ask away. Do not make him linger in this fake world."
Realizing how time was running out, I spoke quickly, telling him about the intrigues of the Children of Kratos and the Gallagher mercenaries, mentioning the attack on the base and the dead friends, the torture in Icy Gorge, and the threats to my parents on the moon. Once I was done, Ishmael screwed up his wrinkled face, producing a wry grin.
"And why should I take an interest in all this? What fills that brain of yours? Donkey piss? Or has the torture deprived you of reason,
So you think you might be of use to the cartel?
Feeling my ears burn, I went on with other arguments about what the sleepers give us all, including the excommunicado, how important it was for me to survive and maintain freedom in Dis, because within the next few hours, 9 would show up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?